The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 345 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Joshua Bass. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Joshua.
So today we are going to be discussing part three. Ding, it's over there. I'm not moving. Of chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Goblin's Revenge. So make sure that you've read the chapter and you're ready to walk out through the details.
Oh, boy.
Sucks to suck, Ron.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
I can't believe that we're at this part already.
I know.
Tiffany,
would you like a recap?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, a giant fight is about to break out between the trio when Harry breaks it up by telling them both to shut up!
Shut up!
But that's only because he hears something. He's not genuinely telling them to shut up in, like, a mean way. There's a group close to their campsite. Turns out it's Ted Tonks, Dirk Cresswell, Dean Thomas, Griphook, and Gornuk. We get some tasty deets. The Silver Trio tried to steal the Sword of Gryffindor from Snape's office. And the Quibbler is printing more real news than the Prophet.
Say it ain't so. Bananas. We're living in mad times. Mad.
Mad.
Oh my God. I'm so mad I didn't take a picture of this. But the other day, Meg, I was driving with Kayla. And you were driving with Tiff. And I saw a couch on the side of the road that legitimately looked like the Slughorn couch.
Oh my gosh.
Like, wish I could have snatched it up.
What are you, Marty? And side of the road furniture?
I'll take some free furniture. Stuff's expensive.
I've absolutely taken side of the road furniture before.
That's all we had at the beginning of our relationship.
This couch I'm sitting on was mega free.
Not side of the road free,
no it wasn't,
but
it was James free. Got a little car side of the road the other day.
Didn't he also get the guitar? Oh, that
yeah,
was
he paid for
sale.
That
yeah, that's yeah. Right.
He paid for that one.
Not as good.
All right guys, so we're in the middle of this conversation that Ted Tonks is having with all these other people that Katie just named. And they're talking about Harry and how, you know, he's kind of supposed to be the unofficial face of the movement, but he's nowhere to be found, right?
Mockingjay.
The Mockingjay?
Harry is the Mockingjay. Okay. So Ted Tonks is talking right now. He says, listen, the fact that they haven't caught him yet is one hell of an achievement, said Ted. I take tips from him gladly. It's what we're trying to do. Stay free, isn't it? And I think, honestly, like, rightfully so. Like, kudos on not being caught yet. That is no small feat when Voldemort and his cronies are out to get you.
Yeah, that's very true.
Truly.
I think that it was wasn't until like this moment that I realized like how impressive it was that they were still on the run. Cuz it is, honestly.
What do you mean?
Like, it's impressive that the trio is still
Sorry.
On the run.
I was playing with my Nido and I missed what you said.
Oh, that's okay.
Trio's on the run.
It just like I just like didn't think about how impressive it was until this moment in the book, you know? Mm. Of course that any other like run of the mill person would have been caught by now. You know, but Hermione really does have a good setup every time they move. They've just got they know what they're doing in terms of moving around and not being caught.
Right.
Let's not talk about other things though.
So staying free, right? Ted Tonks is talking about that. Being free from Voldemort, free from the ministry, just want to live their lives how they see fit. Muggles, Muggleborns, everybody, right?
Yeah.
Quote, yeah, well, you've got a point there, said Dirk heavily. With the whole of the ministry and all their informers looking for him, I'd have expected him to be caught by now. Mind, who's to say they haven't already caught and killed him without publicizing it? And in my mind, my thoughts are this would absolutely never be the case. The wizarding world would immediately hear of the good news of Harry Potter being killed because it would be the true triumph of evil over good and a victory for Voldemort. And we see that like as soon as Voldemort thinks that he's dead in the Forbidden Forest, Hagrid, he'll be more visible up in your arms, carry him out.
It was like an immediate announcement.
Yeah, calling everybody out of Hogwarts, come and see your Harry Potter. He died running away and also lying. And the great thing is I wonder how many Death Eaters in that moment. So we see like the Malfoy family, although we know that they never get like to be decent people. They at least live low profile after the war is over. But like, I wonder how many people in the Death Eater group was like seeing Voldemort for the liar that he is. You know what I mean? And maybe regret their choices, kind of like how Narcissa did. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he lies, an obvious lie. He has no other story to tell. All the Death Eaters that were in the forest with him, he lied running away from me. And does that set a light bulb off in anybody's head who was maybe questioning it before? Like, you're just going to lie like that. You know what I mean? There's a breaking point for people, I feel like. And I wonder if that was it for anybody else.
Yeah,
that's true. I never thought about that.
Mm-mm. I'm sure. I mean, there's unfortunately a lot of Death Eaters, I'm sure. Some portion of them had to be like,
he's not that him telling that lie to the good side, right? In front of all of the Death Eaters who were there to witness the truth and that Harry sacrificed himself, didn't even have a wand in his hand. This guy's not as tough as he says he is. He's not who he says he is. And you know, how many of them actually look back through Voldemort's family tree to realize that he's also not pure blood. Do you know what I mean? So it's just interesting to me because I feel like if I was in a group and I knew the truth about something and the leader of the group told a blatant lie, it would turn me off.
I worry that.
Or you would just call it an alternative fact.
Oh my God. I would worry that we've kind of seen this play out,
unfortunately.
I would worry that some members of the group might be conditioned to believe the lies, even though they saw it with their own eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Totally.
Maybe you get so far in, you just can't think for yourself anymore.
Yeah, but I'm hopeful that there are at least some who got a little uneasy in their tummy and thought, maybe I chose a bad thing.
Okay. So after he says that, they're all sitting there, this group by the river. They're silent and they're eating. And then they all decided to sleep in a more covered area in the trees. So they extinguished their fire and they moved on up the bank. And we want to thank you because only you can prevent forest fires.
It's true, though.
All right. So now it's time for the chat, right? We've had our big reveal. The extendable ears are out. Hermione and Harry are like reeling, right? Ginny, the sword. This is huge news, right? So Hermione, immediately being the brilliant witch that she is, goes into her beaded bag, takes out the portrait of Phineas Nigellus Black, which she removed upon their arrival at Grimmauld Place. Now it's kind of like a lifeline, right? It's their connection into Dumbledore's office and Grimmauld Place. And she's going to attempt to find out the truth about the sword being switched, what happened with Ginny and their crew, and what's in the haps with Hogwarts, right? Phineas Nigellus Black would know. Or as I like to call him, PNB, because I don't want to type that out.
PNB.
PNB.
Finny Nige.
Phineas Nigellus, said Hermione. Professor Black, could we please talk to you, please?
Please always help, said a cold, snide voice.
And Phineas Nigellus slid into his portrait. At once, Hermione cried, Obscuro! Boom. Roasted.
For real.
I love it. She thinks of the details.
Yeah.
Although, it doesn't really matter later on because they very obviously give away who they are. Phineas Nigellus Black obviously has heard Harry Potter talk a lot in Dumbledore's office. He already knows this guy's voice, right? So Obscuro is the incantation of a charm that is used to conjure a blindfold over the eyes of the victim, therefore obstructing their view and any of their surroundings. This is seen... I'm sorry, hold on. This is seen obviously in 1997 when Hermione uses it, but the wiki goes on to say, my friends, Harry Potter used this spell while dueling Draco Malfoy in September of 2020. And that's Cursed Child.
Oh, yeah.
Act 2, scene 13. I have no memory of this.
I love that. I love that scene.
Is that like in the ministry? Like in his office?
I can't remember where it is, but it's
I cannot
cool
remember this.
How they do it.
It was Jacob's sibling was there.
You know what, Tiffany?
What?
No, was it at Harry's house?
I honestly don't remember this, so.
I do remember their duel.
Made me laugh.
But I can't remember where it happened, but I do remember their duel.
It was so cool.
Yeah, because the magic in it, like on live stage, is so cool.
Yeah,
it was a very good show. Hopefully they'll film it, stream it. I'd love to watch it again, but I'm not dragging myself to New York or any of the other locations at the moment.
London.
If
all right,
don't want to go see you because she
actually
is a
can't stand that song too. My Nido is so squishy right now.
So is mine.
My hands kind of hurt. Anyways, this is a brilliant move on Hermione's part, honestly. This prevented him from seeing their faces and surroundings, but they obviously give themselves away in a few seconds. And it's actually one of the parts of this book that I hate.
Like, why go through all that, you know?
Well, I think I think it was more so for their location than anything.
True.
I don't think that I think that she knew that they weren't going to be able to obscure themselves, like their identities.
Well, maybe that, but
I think it was their location.
He also heard her say where they were.
Yeah.
When she opened her bag.
Yeah.
Later on.
She probably doesn't think about like how her voice could carry through the bag like that, because she like really shoves it in the bottom of the bag, but
should have put some earmuffs on him.
Truly.
Yeah. What's the incantation for that?
Earmuffio.
Muffliato. Now that's just
Ear muffliato.
Jinx, here we go.
Oh, Katie totally got it.
I don't know.
Well,
the internet. It's over the internet. Whatever.
I know.
Well, we'll have to listen back to the recording and then.
Whatever. Megan will edit it so you'll win.
Put that down. Oh my God.
Oh, man. So Phineas Nigellus is. What?
The chat. That was Katie by like 10 seconds. Teef saying Jinx like 3 hours later. Yeah, sorry, Tiff, you lose.
Oh, you know what? You guys can kiss my butt.
Michigan McKenna, the Discord delay takes another victim. Discord don't like you today.
You're
the lag isn't
list.
That bad. The lag.
You're a lag. Whatever, let's continue this. Phineas Nigellus Black is offended by the way in which he's being talked to and how he's treated. You're ruining a great piece of art.
Oh,
I don't think
no.
It's that great. It's just your portrait, bro. So immediately he knows it's Harry, right? Because he's heard that voice enough. Harry goes right for it and he asks about the sword. And so we find out that Ginny, Luna, and Neville were the ones who attempted to steal the sword, most likely on a tip from Ginny, because she knew that the Ministry of Magic would not let Harry have the sword from Dumbledore's will. So she made to take the matter into her own hands because she is a boss.
Mm-hmm, she sure is.
So she's, you know, when they're having the conversation at Harry's birthday, Harry tells them that he was also left the sword of Gryffindor, which is how Ginny knows about that. And she knows that Harry needs it. So she's going to stand by her man. Okay.
That's my man.
That's my man. All right. So I think Phineas Nigellus is just like calling them names. Idiot, Longbottom, oddity for Luna. And so Ron's like, shut up about my sister. Obviously giving yourself away, you idiot. Phineas Nigellus raises supercilious eyebrows. Who else is there? He asks, turning his head from side to side. Your tone displeases me. The girl and her friends were foolhardy in the extreme, thieving from the headmaster.
Why does he have supercilious eyebrows?
So there's a little bit of bickering between them. And Hermione stands up because of the Neville and Luna name calling, which rightfully so. Like, Phineas Nigellus, you need to calm down, okay? Calm down.
You need to calm
down. Okay. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. To both of you, give me 2 points, Mia.
You didn't.
Why are you so grumpy?
It. Who is clicking that link?
Grouchy.
What?
I don't know. Somebody clicked the link and it's open. I don't know. Anyways, the trio finds out that the punishment for trying to steal the sword was detention in the Forbidden Forest with Hagrid. Mm. And Harry Big Deal Potter is fine about this. But honestly, kudos to Snape. And I think we talked about this last time, because this quote unquote punishment, on a punishment that to outsiders might have seemed scary, yeah, and to kids who don't really have a relationship with Hagrid or are scared of the forest would be, you know, freaking out about. However,
punishment.
This is great, and it's probably easy for Ginny, Neville, and Luna to be like, oh no, the Forbidden Forest with Hagrid? Please don't, right?
It's like Willy Wonka. No, please stop.
Stop. They had to have known that they were getting away with something, but they just didn't say anything. Snape didn't have to do this. He, you know, had the Karos there, but he promised Dumbledore that he would protect the school. And so the kids really didn't get punished.
Thankfully.
And Harry definitely felt relieved by this. He was thinking that they were going to be tortured, which we know that later on that people do get tortured. Quote, what we really wanted to know, Professor Black, is whether anyone else has taken the sword out at all. Maybe it's been taken away for cleaning or something.
Why? And Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, line. You go ahead.
Why does he give them this information? Like so easily. Do you think it's because
he's
the information about
he's working with Snape?
Okay. So he's not trying to be. Okay, that makes sense.
Are you talking about the information regarding like how it's goblin made and everything?
No, like just like any question they ask, he's not like, well, why would I tell you that? I don't even know who you are, even though he does.
So back in the end of the book in Snape's memories, we see what happens immediately following this conversation with the trio. And he comes back through and he says, or they're in the Forest of Dean or something like that later on. No, this is later when he hears Hermione. Right?
Yeah, because they're not in the Forest of Dean yet.
They're not in the Forest of Dean yet. But when he does that, we see that he's working with Snape, because that's when Snape finishes talking to Dumbledore's portrait and he says that, "Don't worry, Dumbledore, I've got a plan." So he's like, he's got to keep a cover, right?
Yeah.
Got to play his part. But yeah. Like I said, we know that kids were sent to the Carrows by probably the Death Eater people at the castle, because real teachers would never do that. And Neville tells us this later when he's filling the trio in on their way back through Ariana's portrait that kids were being tortured at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice.
Okay. So, Phineas pauses again, and
here goes Meg with her notes in bold.
Whatever. I did my notes on my phone while I was laying in bed because I was tired, okay?
Doesn't mean you can't unbold them.
So he is like sort of annoyed at Hermione's question, and this is just how Phineas is. He has this air about him of like being superior, and it's how he answers most of these questions. So he goes, "Goblin made armor does not require cleaning, simple girl. Simple. Goblin's silver repels mundane dirt,
imbibing.
Sounds weird.
Taking in.
Imbibing.
Yeah. Imbibing only that which strengthens it." And Harry yells at him and is like, "Don't call Hermione simple." But so Phineas isn't a fan of how he's being talked to. And he is like trying to grope his way back out of this portrait to go to the other, when Harry has a quick idea and goes, "Dumbledore, can't you bring us Dumbledore?" And again, he has the same kind of air with his response to Harry. He goes, "Evidently, it is not only Muggleborns who are ignorant, Potter. The portraits of Hogwarts may commune with each other, but they cannot travel outside the castle except to visit a painting of themselves hanging elsewhere. Dumbledore cannot come here with me. And after the treatment I have received at your hands, I can assure you that I shall not be making a return visit."
Oh, come on, man. We're going to bring snacks next time.
So Hermione tries to play the nice card now. And she's like, "Professor Black, can you please tell us the last time that you remember the sword being removed?" And he says, "I believe that the last time I saw the Sword of Gryffindor leave its case was when Professor Dumbledore used it to break open a ring." So is this where people get the idea that Dumbledore made the copy? Because, like, maybe, you know?
Maybe.
Because then they go on to talk a little bit. It's a little bit later in my notes. But so Harry quickly tries to ask him before he leaves if he told Snape what he saw. Meaning, like, about Dumbledore using it to try to break open a ring. And he said, "Professor Snape has more important things on his mind than any eccentricities of Albus Dumbledore. Goodbye, Potter." Mm-hmm. And
eccentricities.
That's a cool word.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cool word. He's eccentric.
He's quite eccentric. As soon as Phineas is gone, Harry and Hermione gasp at each other. Because this is a very, very large piece of information that they just learned. They learned that it was left to Harry because it can destroy Horcruxes.
Why, class?
Because it can destroy Horcruxes.
It's impregnated with basilisk venom.
Yep. Hermione says, the sword can destroy Horcruxes. Goblin-made blades imbibe only that which strengthen them. Harry, that sword's impregnated with basilisk venom. And then Harry says, and Dumbledore didn't give it to me because he still needed it. He wanted to use it on the locket. And he must have realized they wouldn't let you have it in if he put it in his will. So he made a copy and put a fake in the glass case. And he left the real one where?
I love this part. Like, you can like feel the excitement because it's just like they're literally sharing one mind and they're just like beep, 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 back and forth.
This part is done so well in the vibing. Movie.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, they vibing.
It's sort of a dead end though here. So they're like, well, it can't be at Hogwarts. It's not in Hogsmeade. Could it be the Shrieking Shack? No. Harry goes to ask Ron his thoughts.
Uh-oh.
And this is where it gets real. Oh, remembered me, have you? He said.
I can't stand it. I hate this whole conversation.
Ron snorted as he stared up at the underside of the upper bunk. You two carry on. Don't let me spoil your fun.
Ooh, this makes me like, I get like fire ragey in my belly.
Yeah, and Harry is so confused, as he should be, because like, there, I mean, truly is no reason for Ron to be acting this way.
Well, besides the fact that his soul is being leached into a locket.
Yes, I know.
But also, tiny thing.
But also, like, it's not their fault you're not saying anything.
I know.
Sit there then, yeah. Buddy.
Like, right? Come on, join
them. Talk about your feels, man.
He belongs in Weenie Hut Jr. Weenie Super Hutt Weenie General. Hutt Jr.
Yeah, General.
Harry is just like so confused. Like, what's the problem? Ron says, obviously there isn't one, according to him. And Harry tells him to spit it out. If you've got a problem, spit it out. And here we go. All right, I'll spit it out. Don't expect me to skip up and down the tent because there's some other damn thing we've got to find. Just add it to the list of stuff you don't know. And this just hits so hard because this is basically confirming Harry's feelings of like what he's been worried about with them, that they're disappointed in him. And like, that just has to be the worst feeling for Harry because he...
So like anxieties right now.
Yes, it's like confirmation of anxieties, which is like always the freaking worst, right? Like your stomach just drops whenever one of your anxieties is confirmed. And I also think that like Harry, and like this is like something that I loved how they did in the movie, how Harry's like, I told you everything Dumbledore told me. Like, I was never holding anything back. And Ron was just hoping that he had been holding something back, which like is Ron's problem, not Harry's. And to put those types of expectations on him that like Ron just created in his mind, again, this is just like confirming Harry's anxiety. So then Ron continues and says, it's not like I'm not having the time of my life here, you know, with my arm mangled and nothing to eat and freezing my backside off every night. I just hoped, you know, after we'd been running around a few weeks, we'd have achieved something. And Hermione quietly says, Ron, but he just pretends he didn't hear it. And I think that, like, obviously they have achieved something. They've got the right...
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating. But now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lock it, right? They have obtained, they have done something huge.
They broke into the Ministry of Magic, dude.
Yeah. But,
and, you know, came out alive.
It's a pretty big feat.
Yeah. Only mostly.
That's a pretty big feat.
All right. So Ron's missing a chunk of his arm. Big whoop.
Big whoop.
Harry. Oh, Harry. He doesn't care. And at this point, I don't blame him because he's annoyed with Ron anyway. He's like, you probably should just go.
I know, right? Were you done?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, again, they did this part of the movie so well, which is refreshing because, like, I've said it before, like, one and two is, like, they're carbon copies of the books. And then it just, like, goes off from there. But there's, like, scenes that are just, like, so perfectly done and word for word from the book, and you're just like, oh, yes, it's just like refreshing, you know.
And this is kind of one of them.
This is one of them. Yeah, they took a lot of lines. So Harry says, I thought you knew what you'd signed up for. Yeah, I thought I did too. So what part of it isn't living up to your expectations? Asked Harry. Anger was coming to his defense now. Did you think we'd be staying in 5-star hotels, finding a horcrux every other day? Do you think he'd be back to mummy by Christmas?
That's a low blow.
That
for
I was
Harry.
Just gonna say. I was just gonna say. Like,
yeah.
Okay, sure. If you want to be like, what did you expect? Like, we're on the run, literally, from Voldemort and whatever. Right.
They're all feeling away.
But then to throw that part in, like, that's a dig.
Yeah.
Now you're pushing,
I mean,
buttons.
he means to it because it's like he's trying to slap him awake and be like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah, like, hello, where's my best friend?
And honestly, sometimes your friends need a big, you know, bucket of cold water to the face.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And Ron did, because he admits whenever he meets up with them again that the second he left, he wanted to come back.
Yeah,
like, it was a wake up call. Like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have been thinking these things or saying these things.
Well, it's also the mark of, like, a really good friendship for your friend to be like, hey, you're doing something messed up.
Totally.
And then it doesn't have to be immediately, like, it's not with Ron, but like for Ron to be like, you know what, I did mess up.
Yeah,
you know, like that's
such a refreshing thing in friendships, to actually be able to just be honest and like not have it ruin a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because that's your deepest relationships require honesty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're surface level with someone, that's one thing. That's not a stand the test of time type of friendship.
Yeah.
But like when you're married, when you're best friends, like being honest is so like crucial.
Mm-hmm.
So crucial. And it's hard too.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for me. I don't like rocking any sort of boat. So it is hard.
Me either, honestly.
What you're saying is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
You have to be delicate with your delivery. And also if you're on the receiving end of something that maybe sheds a negative light on you, like just try and be open.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not always the most open, but because if I'm already feeling that bad thing about myself and then it's voiced, I'm like so extra hard on myself. And then I project as angry with the person who said it. And then I have to take time to calm down and be like, you were right. But like working on accepting the constructive criticisms from loved ones, because it's hard to hear it from the people who you love so much and admire and hold, you know, such high regard for.
Yeah.
So Ron hearing this from Harry, and then Harry hearing what's about to come up from Ron about him and Hermione, like, it's all delivered in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
So go on, Kate. More with the sad.
Okay. Sad and angry. So Ron says they thought him and Hermione, they thought he knew what he was doing. They thought Dumbledore had told him what to do. They thought he had a plan. Hermione tries to interrupt him. Again, she's like, Ron, but she goes ignored. And Harry says he's been straight with them from the start. He's told them everything that Dumbledore has told him. They've found one Horcrux. And Ron butts in and is like, yeah, and we're as close to getting rid of it, of the one that we found, as we are to finding the rest of them. And then he says, nowhere effing near, in other words.
But they just got a crucial piece of information to help them get rid of it.
A crucial
information.
It sounded like streusel. Not like James, honestly.
Yeah, it did. You're right.
A woad.
I have no arguments there.
So Hermione's like, Ron, take off the locket. You wouldn't be saying these things if you hadn't been wearing it all day. And Harry goes, yeah, he would have. And that he's also noticed that they've been whispering behind his back. And Hermione tries to be like, Harry, we weren't. And then Ron turns to her and yells, tells her not to lie. And that she said it too. She was disappointed. She thought they had more to go on. And Hermione's like, I didn't say it like that, Harry. I didn't. Which, like, I'm sure she didn't say it quite in that way.
She probably was just saying, like, I thought maybe he had told him something more.
I think it came from more of a place of
frustration for all of them.
But, like, I think it came from, like, it was more with the way that the Horcrux is affecting Ron. Ron's like, what the heck, man? Like,
yeah.
You know, and Hermione's like, yeah, you know, me too, but, like, we're figuring it out.
Right.
Two different ways. So the excitement from before, nah, it's gone. The sword of Gryffindor was hidden, they knew not where, and they were three teenagers in a tent whose only achievement was not yet to be dead. It's not your only achievement, but you know, when you're feeling some kind of way already, it's hard to think past exactly what you can see right in front of your face. So Harry says to Ron, why are you still here? And he goes, search me. And Harry says, go home then. This next line totally took me out of the heaviness, but we get right back into it. So from the book, yeah, maybe I will, shouted Ron. And he took several steps toward Harry, who did not back away. Didn't you hear what they said about my sister? But you don't give a rat's fart.
A scabber's toot.
It's only the Forbidden Forest. Harry, I've faced worst. Potter doesn't care what happens to her in here. Well, I do, all right. Giant spiders and mental stuff. Rat's fart sent me. So,
in this heated conversation, your mother's not in this tent, and you choose rat's fart when you were going to say Merlin Saggy left something. Right. Previously in front of her. I don't understand.
Right. Exactly.
I think that honestly, that was probably where Harry was like, all right, that was too far, because of course I care about Ginny. I care about Ginny so much more than you think that I do.
You meant rat's fart was too far. I'm like, that's like so low level.
Oh my gosh. So obviously Harry was only saying that about their detention because it was with Hagrid, you know, like, we know what he meant, and deep down Ron knows what he meant. He's just fired up. So Ron says, yeah, I get it, you don't care. And what about the rest of his family? They had overheard that, quote, the Weasleys don't need another kid injured from the group with Ted and Dean and everybody. And Hermione says she's sure all that. What did my notes do?
All that was peanut by that.
All that was meant by that. I don't know why it says peanut. All that was meant by that was that Bill's got scars from Fenrir. George's ear is public knowledge. Like, and Ron himself is supposed to be home sick with Spattergroit. But of course, again, like, Ron's not in his right mind. Oh, you're sure, are you? Right then, well, I won't bother myself about them. It's all right for you two, isn't it? With your parents safely out of the way. My parents are dead, Harry bellowed. And mine could be going the same way, yelled Ron. Then go, roared Harry. Go back to them. Pretend you've got your Spattergroit and Mummy will be able to feed you up and... Ron makes a sudden movement. Harry reacts. They both go to grab their wands, but before they can, Hermione throws Protego between them. Very smart of her to do that. Especially because, like, I know she's, like, distressed right now. Yeah. Right? Like, these two are, like, just duking it out. And she's, like, everything's going to fall apart. And, like, Voldemort's going to win. And you know what I mean? Like, her mind's 100 steps ahead of where they are right now. So Harry and Ron glared from either side of this transparent barrier as though they were seeing each other clearly for the first time.
Ow!
Harry felt a corrosive hatred towards Ron. Something corrosive had broken between them.
Hatred.
That's deep.
I mean,
hatred. Corrosive hatred. Breaking down the friendship.
It sucks. I guess because
that's kind of what happens whenever you try to tell him that his parents are safe because they're dead.
Yeah, what the heck? Right. That's dumb. That's some dumb stuff.
Like, for Harry, this is like, you know, as much as he's always like, I don't, you know, I can do it myself and I don't want anyone to get hurt, blah, blah, blah. Like, he needs these two. And I think he knows that deep down in those moments when he's trying
absolutely
to be, you know, yeah, Mr. Hero. But yeah, now he's got his best friend who, like, to Harry, like, in this moment with his anxieties, like, doesn't believe in him, is saying all these hurtful things.
But you know what else is really incredibly hurtful? Maybe more than even him saying that his parents were basically safe because they're dead, was the fact that Ron is speaking as if Arthur and Molly aren't parental figures to him.
Right.
You don't care about them.
Yeah.
When in reality,
of course he does.
They're so important.
They're some of the people that mean everything to him. Yeah.
It is
so that I think... Right. That I think is incredibly hurtful as well.
Yeah. So Harry tells him, leave the Horcrux. So Ron wrenches it off, throws it aside, and then he looks at Hermione and says, what are you doing? She's like, what do you mean? And he's like, are you staying or are you going? And she's like, of course I'm staying. We said we would go with Harry and help. And Ron, of course, takes that as, I get it, you choose him. Because, again, this Horcrux has just been muttering in his ear that he's not good enough and he can never measure up to the great Harry Potter, and why would she choose him, and blah, blah, blah. All his insecurities.
Who are you next to him?
That part's so good. So she takes down her shield charm, but Ron is already out of the tent by the time she, like, starts running after him. Harry stays put. He listens as she chases after him. She's sobbing. She's yelling for Ron. And after a few moments, she comes back and she said, he's gone, disapparated. And she throws herself down in a chair and starts to cry.
Well, because she also knows how difficult it's going to be for him to find them again. Because she can't lessen their protections.
They can't do any sort of trying to contact him.
Yeah.
They can't.
So, like, she assumes he literally can't find them again.
And, like, now he's not, like, does he know the protective enchantments? Has he been paying attention? Is he going to be safe? Like,
correct.
Yeah.
Because it's probably, I mean, they know that the Weasleys are being watched, so it's not really smart for him to go back there.
Yeah. I think once that thing's off, he knows that.
Yeah, he does.
So Harry describes himself as feeling dazed. Yeah, I think that's a really good word to sum up what happened. So he picks up the Horcrux, puts it on, and then like I think this is the best thing he could have done because there's nothing that you can say to Hermione, and there's nothing Hermione could say to Harry in this moment right now to like make them feel even a little bit better. It's one of those things where like you like Tiff said, like I gotta cool off. It's like both of them just need to like feel their feels and just not they can't converse about it. So he just pulls the blankets off Ron's bunk, covers her up, and then he just goes to bed himself. This makes me feel so sad.
So she loses her boyfriend, right?
That's my
To this
girlfriend, you
mess.
numpty.
And then she's with Harry, who now knows of her doubts and insecurities, and that she's been chit-chatting behind his back. And that's an awkward turtle to get over. Anyway, we know that they move on from this. But still, that's a. I'd lay in bed and cry too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a big mess that eventually gets fixed, but you got to live through the hard times first.
Well, and like it got so heated, it's like sometimes that stuff, like it
Sometimes
just
it's hard to
happens.
forgive that stuff that's said too.
When it happens so fast, too. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
just like, yeah, I don't know. It's a situation, that's for
It
sure.
sure is.
Well, bring this up with some lightning bolt round
All right.
questions. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Discord gave us some sad stuff to talk about.
Gil asked, if you three replaced the trio on the camping trip, do you think you'd have gotten through or would you have been caught?
No, I would have been dead the moment they said, set this tent up. You want me to what? No.
No. You gotta use your
Actually,
farm background to make us survive.
yeah.
What?
Yeah, we
Oh
need you.
gosh.
I don't know. I would
I
like
do.
to think that I would, but
Yeah, I'd do okay, I think.
are we
Do I have
together?
magic?
Yes, we're together.
Do we have magic?
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, I
okay,
think
we're
we'd
all
be all
right.
right.
We're
We'd
fine.
be okay. Yeah, I think we'd be okay. We
I
would
think that
be okay.
Megan would probably be the first to slip and say the taboo name, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Do we have the
She'd be
invisibility
like,
cloak?
I hope so.
Because I'm going to steal
Yeah.
some food.
Yeah, I would too. You
Like,
could use the disillusionment charm if you didn't.
I'm creeping to a restaurant. I'm like, Accio pizza-ing and
Yes.
running back to the tent.
Yeah.
I'd like old cartoon style steal some pies from some windowsills.
I
You know?
love that, yeah.
I don't know if we know the answer to this, but Destifer asks, why do you think only Ted, Dirk, and Gornik were the ones to be killed? Did they get split up? Did those three try and fight back, or what?
I'd like to think that they, I mean, I don't like to think it, but I'd like to think that they died fighting.
Yeah. I just wonder, like why did Dean and Griphook get put in that jail cell?
Maybe they had their wands taken and were captured, but Ted and
We're
Gornik
fighting.
were fighting.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, one more. Dusty Fur also asks, what do you think Ginny, Neville, and Luna did with Hagrid during their detention in the forest?
Rock cakes and bucket-sized mugs of tea.
Yeah,
Did
genuinely,
Fang?
probably nothing. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I bet they just talked about stuff that they can't talk about when they're on like the immediate grounds.
Maybe they just stayed in Hagrid's cabin.
They could have, maybe,
Maybe.
if nobody was spying. You
All
know.
right. Discord discourse. Michigan McKenna says, I would have threatened Phineas with a little bottle of paint thinner if he kept yapping at
Oh.
me. Nah, my Slytherin Gemini side is showing because I would have Accio'd a spray bottle of paint thinner so fast Finny's head would spin.
Finny.
Finny. Bree says, when your loved ones tell you something about yourself, it's best not deflect
and take it in. They love you. They wouldn't be saying this for no reason or to hurt you.
Bree, tell me that next time this hot-headed Aries wants to be a ram.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's so valid. Like, that's perfectly well put.
Yeah. Michigan McKenna again. Ronnie, babes, you didn't know your rat was a whole grown man. Let's not throw stones.
Preach. Preach.
In Michigan, Mike said, the sword of Swiffendor.
Oh, I like that.
Does that destroy Horcruxes?
Yeah. Mm. And he also sent a meme that says, leave the Horcrux, take the cannoli.
I don't like cannolis.
What?
They're okay.
Yeah, it's just not.
They're like the kind of bottom of the dessert list for me too. I'd pick a lot of other things beforehand. But if someone was like, here's a cannoli, I'd be like, oh, thanks. And I'd eat it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if it was like that, yeah, but I'm not picking it.
Michigan Mike said gasps in Italian.
I'm sorry. I'm not going out of my way.
A cannoli was the first thing I had after getting my first tattoo.
That's odd, but okay.
There was a place right next door. We got some.
Yeah, I guess I want to get tats and cannolis.
Yeah, man. Tats and cannolis.
I love cannolis.
I mean, so, MJ, that might be something. Clearly, we haven't had good ones. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, change my mind, Michigan Mike.
Well, how come you haven't had a good one, but I have?
I don't know.
What Italian restaurant are you at without your wife?
One of our best friends is Italian.
Has she made cannolis?
I don't think she's made them, but I'm pretty sure that her family functions have had them before.
Yeah, but I probably haven't grabbed them because I haven't been very impressed with other ones. Now that bottom of the list. Is that not good for me? Sure.
Mm.
Ooh, West Side markets are pretty good, says Tortellini.
Okay, let's go.
The last cannoli I remember eating was in New York when we went to like that. He's on TV. Cake Boss, maybe?
Cake Boss?
No. Shoot.
What's his name? The Italian dude.
Yeah, his family.
Yeah.
His name is Italian dude.
Oh my gosh, what's his name?
Italian dude.
It's not Cake Boss? The
rainbow cakes. Is it Cake Boss?
I'm pretty sure his given name is not Cake Boss.
No kidding, but
buddy.
Yeah,
buddy who? Yeah. Buddy, what's
no
his name?
Kidding.
Yeah, his
buddy,
name's Buddy,
what's his name? Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy named Buddy.
Yeah, that Italian guy.
I was too me. I liked Ace of Cakes better.
All right. Fan
the
story
Ace
time.
Of Cakes!
All right. Fan story. This comes from Misty from August of 2023.
Oh, pretty recent.
Hi,
a
y'all.
A year ago.
Yeah, right. Hi, y'all.
What's
my name is
wrong
Misty.
With me? Hi, Misty.
This is literally a year ago.
I know. I was like, oh, that's recent. No, Tiff. It nope. Sure is not.
Nah. My name is Misty, and I am a Gryffindor from Alabama. I wanted to share my extremely non-exciting story with y'all.
Oh,
well,
I'm sure
we'll
that
see.
It is.
We'll be the judges of that.
Kat is slowly pushing my computer off this table.
He's really trying.
He's out for it.
Growing
PC
up, I was...
guy.
What?
He's a PC guy.
Ew, Cadmus, no, I didn't raise you like that. Growing up, I was very sheltered, and I didn't watch a lot of TV besides Westerns, which are my dad's favorite. Also, us kids were expected to go outside and play all the time. So yeah. I had no idea Harry Potter existed until I'm sure all the movies were out and I'd see bits and pieces of them on TV. Mainly the Chamber of Secrets. Every time I'd see the flying car, I'd roll my eyes and change the channel. Unfortunately, I thought the whole thing was weird and I just wasn't into that kind of stuff. Fast forward several years, I met and married my husband at the age of 18. Crazy, I know, but we're still married.
Aww.
And it's been 15 years.
Ah, I love it!
Over the years, my mother-in-law, who I love, was always talking about Harry Potter and how I needed to read the books. And finally, one day, when I was about 25-ish, I gave in. I was hooked, all caps. I devoured all the books and have since read them all at least 2 times a year. I'm probably going to get some hate for this, but I am very much a book snob and I can't stand the movies. I've probably only seen them all fully once, but I've told myself I'm going to give them another chance soon. I now have two sons, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. The 10-year-old fell in love with the movies first because he wasn't old enough to read the books when he was about 5. We were visiting family and they had the Sorcerer's Stone on. When the part where Hagrid burst through the door of the hut on the rock happened, my son asked loudly, "Is that God?"
Is that God?
It was the cutest.
Excuse me,
thing
have
ever.
You heard of our Lord and Savior? Our Lord and Savior, Albus Dumbledore.
Good man, good man. It was the cutest, funniest thing ever. He has now read the books twice. He has taken the house test, and he is a Ravenclaw. Nice. He's very smart, but honestly, I think he's a Raven Griffpuff, or however you want to say it. He truly embodies characteristics from all three houses. I know this was really long, but I wanted to say one more thing. I started listening to your podcast about a month or two ago, and I love listening to everyone's thoughts and takes on things in the books and learning things I didn't know about the characters. I'm only on episodes.
I'm sorry. He's going to step on
the mixer.
Yeah. So I threw something at him, but he didn't care.
Oh, of course. What'd you throw?
My Nido ice cube box.
Oh, I thought you were saying you threw the Nido box. And I was like, dang, Megan, that's rough. Sorry, Misty.
Sorry, Misty.
Sorry. I didn't want our levels to get messed up.
I understand. I'm only on episode 77. Hey, ding, ding. And I hope that by the time I catch up, I'll be surprised to hear y'all reading my fan story, if y'all still do them. We do. Anyway, thanks for taking the time to read my story. Don't let the muggles get you down. Misty. Aww. P.S. Almost forgot. My wand is 10 inches. Hazel with, oh my God, 10 inches. Hazel with unicorn core. And my Patronus is a West Highland Terrier.
Aww. Aww.
Misty, I don't think that was at all not exciting.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Look at you coming round.
Thought it was awesome.
Go watch the movies again, though.
Yeah,
the first few are pretty decent. And thank you for your story.
Yeah, thank you for your story. I love that your kid is super into it. I want to know if your 7-year-old is into it. I want to know if you're caught up. Are you hearing this story right now? Well, you can't right now because we're recording it. But
unless you're in Discord.
Discord?
Discord? Are you there?
These handies.
Okay.
His handies has to purr.
Who wants a joke?
I haven't sang that in a long time.
I want a joke.
How many Voldemorts does it take to light up a wand?
Light it up, 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 light it up, up, up. I don't know.
None. That's why they call him the Dark Lord.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at tiffswish_flick.
What happened when the toilet paper crossed a woad?
Got stuck in a quack.
Like a booty crack. There was not a bingo today, and we have not restarted our house cup yet, so there are no standings currently.
It's summer break.
It's summer
Gryffindor's
break.
Winning.
Oh my God.
What?
Get out of here. Gryffindors win everything. Can you step aside?
Step aside.
Step aside, Wormtail. Tis all.
Tis all. What's this for? Rat toots.
Rat farts.
Why do they call it that? What? Ratatouille. Sounds like rat and patootie. Rat patootie.
Alana calls it rat tattooie.
That's
rat
cute.
Rat tattooie.
Are they a jazz band?
Tootie footie. Maybe.
Rudy.
Ratatouille.
For rat farts, you guys.
Or worm
which I'm sure.
Toots.
Ron has smelled plenty of. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!